As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Guess who's back?
Back again.
The people have spoken.
Demanding my return.
I know. We did miss you. It was just one recording day, but it was a few episodes that we had it covered off on.
That's all right. That's why we got three or four of us here, right?
Three or four of us?
Yeah.
I mean, today?
They can step in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't
want to. So we had Melissa step in.
I know. I heard she was okay.
She was fine. Just kidding. No, she was great. Welcome to The Secret Life of Parkinson's, a podcast created by people living with Parkinson's to help break the stigma of a disease no one likes to talk about. Now, here are your hosts, Jessica Krauser and Brian Baker. Sometimes we have Steve step in, but instead of Steve, today we brought his daughter, Leslie.
Yay!
Yay! So Leslie is our special guest. Leslie is our guest today. She is Steve's, his only daughter,
yes.
But you're the youngest,
the
baby.
I am the youngest, yes.
But yeah, so excited to have you on because we've talked to my kids, but that's not fair because they're only teenagers. So now we get to talk to like an adult child of a parent living with Parkinson's. So how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm excited to be here. It's definitely been a huge part of my life finding out that my dad had Parkinson's, and it's just been a process. I know it was before COVID.
Okay.
I feel like it's all kind of been a blur.
Yeah. But,
I mean, I remember those moments of wondering like what was going on. So yeah, I feel like it's just kind of been a process of learning everything.
No. I'm going to jump right in here off the bat.
Yeah, let's go in. Go ahead.
But did you notice anything that you can go back now and recall, like, oh, yep, that was
that you recognized it before,
yeah, before
they
you get diagnosed?
I don't remember a whole lot. And I think a lot of it is because we were kind of in the throes of raising children. And so...
Yeah, because your kids were probably, what, like 5, 7?
Yeah, they were like elementary age. So... I think I wasn't around enough to notice or pick up on anything different. I just remember my mom saying that they were going to go see a neurologist because he had like a bit of a tremor in his hand.
Did that scare you at all yet or no?
Yeah, because I'm a worrier to begin with. So, of course, I went straight to Dr. Google. This is before ChatGPT. So I had to go to Google and... You know, I tend to let my mind kind of
gives you the good stuff, right?
Exactly. It always ends in death, I feel like.
It does.
So I did Google, and the one thing that I remember that was kind of like a red flag was it was just on one side, and I had read that with Parkinson's, it typically affects one side initially. And so that kind of made me nervous. And then I'd also read about essential tremors, and that those were more benign, but that typically was like hereditary, and it could affect like both sides of the body. So I remember like drilling my mom on like, okay, so like what are the symptoms? Like I'm a fixer, so I'm like, let's fix this problem. So
how long? When did he tell you, or when did they tell you, and how did you react?
Well, initially, I think when he went to the neurologist, they did say it was probably an essential tremor. And I don't know if they just have to like monitor it for a certain amount of time before they can officially call it what it is. So when I heard that, I was like, oh, see, we're fine. Yeah. It's fine. And then I think maybe he took the, is it like the carbidopa or the levodopa?
Yeah, carbidopa, levodopa.
Yeah. And that affected the tremor. And so then it was like, well, obviously, if this is like having an impact on it, this is probably what it is.
So it's funny. As she's saying this, I don't even know Steve's diagnosis story. Like, we've talked about everybody's, and I know his journey with DBS and after that, but I don't know his diagnosis story.
I just met her after DBS.
Well, that's when I met him too, but still. Shame on us for not asking that question. We ask everybody that question.
Well, and I don't know if I know the whole story, but I know.
But I mean, even to know, like, you know, he was probably told it's most likely an essential tremor, but if you try carbidopa, levodopa, and it works, then it's Parkinson's.
Yeah.
So when he did find out it was Parkinson's, what happened?
I think, and I don't know if it's my place to tell, but I think he was out of town.
He was. I do remember that.
Yeah. And I think my mom told me that he just like cried in the hotel room.
Because he was doing something with a concert, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do remember a little bit.
Yeah, so you're catching on.
I did ask. Okay. But how did it hit you emotionally, like in a certain way, or maybe after, like, time to digest it?
Yeah, I feel like I went into my closet and cried. Because I don't think I really knew what all that meant. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what does the future look like? I don't think I knew much about Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. I think all I knew was just the tremor. Like, that's kind of all I associate it with. So I didn't know. I think when you don't know what the future holds, there's a lot of anxiety in that. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, I tend to be a worrier. And, you know, I think I've been really lucky growing up, and family-wise, like, we haven't had many health issues. Yeah. And so as an adult, it just hits differently because you're more aware of like what's going on and you're around for it. So I think I've always seen my dad as like invincible. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to cry.
It's okay.
I've always seen him as invincible, and there's nothing that he couldn't do, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think growing up, like, if ever there was a problem or a concern, I could turn to him and he would know how to fix it. And I think as an adult, like, just seeing your parents in general get older is like, you know, there's a moment where you're just like, oh my gosh, like, they are human and they won't always be around. But then when you throw like a diagnosis like this in, I think you wonder, like, what the rest of his life look like, you know, and where will I be?
Yeah.
Like, how will I be affected? How do I need to help? You know, you just have no idea how it's going to play out. And so, yeah, I just felt sad. I felt like it didn't seem fair. And I know my mom had said that too. Like, he has worked his whole life and worked really hard to provide for all of us. And then finally, when it's like he can retire, he can enjoy his life, then to get this diagnosis was like, it didn't seem fair.
Just a blow.
Yeah.
So that was, how long ago was he diagnosed? Like 7, 8 years ago?
Probably, maybe? Yeah.
How do you feel now about where he is?
I feel a lot better. I feel like my dad is the type of person, like, to make lemonade out of the lemons. Mm-hmm. So with all that he's done since the diagnosis, I'm not surprised. Like, this is what he would do with something like this. But I think talking about it and getting it out for people to know about makes it less scary. And I think he's like inspired a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
He's inspired people with Parkinson's and without Parkinson's. You know, it's affected me and the people that I interact with and stuff, sharing his story and stuff. So I feel a lot better. Obviously, if I could have it my way, I would not have him diagnosed with it. But I feel like he's been in good hands with the doctors and the community that he's surrounded by and really doing anything and everything that he can to, like, make things better.
So what about the grandkids? Have they been, because Steve's highly functional for a Parkinson's person, I think, and I don't.
But he's done all the things.
Yeah, I know.
He takes voice lessons and he does exercise and he did DBS. I just want to reiterate, like, he is highly functioning, but it's a lot for what he is putting into it. But go ahead.
I mean, are they aware of it? Do they know? Do they ever notice anything or question anything? Or
I remember sitting down and talking with them about it, but I feel like they've done really well with it. They're 15 and 13 now. I remember my younger daughter did like a presentation on Parkinson's where they could like pick a topic to donate money to, and she was like super excited to interview him and talk about it. So I feel like they're very much aware. They wear their Parkinson's shirts and stuff. And so I feel like they're proud of him. I think they don't see it as a
disability.
Yeah, exactly. It's something they can be proud of.
So has he had, do you know if he's had like the genetic testing done? And if
I
so,
do
you
think he has?
Would you want to know?
I don't know if I would want to know or not.
Because I haven't done it because my son actually wants to know, but my husband's like, we can't do that to him at this age because he is a warrior.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I mean, I had it done and my son was like, I don't want to know. And then I was like, it's not genetic. He's like, oh.
Yeah, I guess I would want to know if it's not, but maybe I don't.
Then it's like, how do you hold it in if it is?
Well, there's nothing you can do. Even if you have the genetic tracking of it, not guaranteed you'll get it. So I mean, nothing you can do. Just like what you can sit around and wait for it.
Yeah.
With my anxiety, I probably wouldn't want to know because then I may just be just
on edge
waiting
all the time
for the shoe to fall off.
So how has your relationship with him changed, if at all?
Initially, I think I distanced myself because I was scared and I didn't want to see the progression of it. So
did you feel like it was going to be overnight?
Yeah. And I think because maybe I'm not over there as much, I might notice more subtle changes than somebody that's around him all the time. And I just didn't want to see it. I didn't want to be around it. But then I also didn't want to come across as like I didn't care. But, you know, I have seen him as like almost invincible and to see his kind of like human nature and like, you know, he is affected by things, I think is just kind of an adjustment. But yeah, I think I have even more respect for him and admiration for just his ability to have a positive attitude and really not let something like this keep him down. I don't know if I have that inner strength like he does.
I know he was out of town, but did you ever like sit down with him and talk about it and what it's going to be? Or you just kind of,
I don't know if we had like a real sit down, like this is what we're dealing with. I don't know if we just kind of brushed over it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wanted to talk about it a lot.
Because I think of like my dad, and I'm like, there's no way he'd want to. That's just not who they are. I think like men in general.
Yeah.
Like I think it would just be like something my mom would tell me, and then it would come up every once in a while.
Yeah. Like, I don't feel like, we didn't have like a sit down, talk about this at all. We just kind of picked up where we left off and continued on with life. And then, you know, he had the various surgeries and medication stuff and all of that. So it's just kind of just been a day by day thing.
So anything that, like, any support or anything different that you see, like, or watching the shift in your parents, like your mom's relationship with your dad and then her relationship with you? Because I feel like I've talked to other adult children before, and it's something I guess I never thought of. It's like, one, you're there to, you know, I'm sure support in some way the parent that has Parkinson's, but then you're also worried and trying to support the caregiver, which is this, you know, usually the other parent. So do you feel any type of shift with that or things that you're worried about?
I'm inspired by my mom to see that she's a support for my dad and that that is marriage, you know, like you, the in sickness and in health and you're it's not real. Always, yeah, it's not just a cold. It could be something a lot bigger than a cold.
Yeah.
So I'm inspired by her. I think it just shows like how much she loves my dad and how much she's committed to him. I know that she worries as well. So I'm sure that this is hard for her, but I kind of encouraged her to, like, I'm all about therapy and talking to people and everything. And so I've mentioned that before. And then I think just with the group that they've met through PD Next Steps, the wives, like, that's a great support to have somebody that can, like, empathize with everything that you're going through.
Right.
And then, yeah, I mean, she hasn't really asked for a lot of help, but I feel like in the future, you know, as she gets older, no offense to my mom, but she is going to get older, that, you know, I want to be there for her and, you know, we're close by and, you know, they've helped me with so much. I feel like it's only natural that I would return the favor and everything.
You know, it's so weird, like, talking to your parents about, like, aging, especially because my parents are the same age, around the same age as yours. And I don't know, I just feel that, like, they're the age that they are now, they are totally different than when they were our age and their parents were there. Like, they were, their parents were so old, you know, it's like they weren't active and they didn't do things. So it's like, I know that they feel different and they, like, if my mom were to tell you today, she'd probably be like, oh, I feel like I'm 50 years old, you know, it's like, and she acts like it, you know, and feels that way. And it's like, but just to know, like, there's that weight on us of, like, you know, wanting to enjoy everything that, you know, you can as an adult child while still caring for your own kids. It's that, don't they call it like that sandwich generation? Like,
oh yeah, that's a good term for it.
Cause you're caring for not even littles, but teenagers and potentially caring for older adults. But what do you wish other adult children of parents with Parkinson's knew, knowing the experience that you had? Not everybody has that same experience.
One instance that I remember, I am a dental hygienist, and I had a patient, a new patient that came in with Parkinson's, and her daughter brought her in. Now, she was in a wheelchair, like, not mobile. And I remember the daughter, you know, she's kind of wheeling her in and she seemed really frustrated and annoyed. And I'm guessing just, like, overwhelmed, because I was thinking, like, okay, like, this could be where I am at some point, you know, with, as things, if they progress, like, I'm eventually, regardless of Parkinson's, like, I'm going to be taking care of my parents, probably taking them to their dental appointments and stuff like that. And she just seemed really cold and not happy to be there. And I felt bad for her mom because, you know, it's not her fault. And so I just kind of snuck it into the conversation that, like, oh, you know, my dad has Parkinson's. And, like, the light in the woman's eyes, my patient, just, like, her eyes just lit up, like, oh my gosh, like, really? And I kind of just started talking to them about it. And I actually did mention PD Next Steps. And, like, even her daughter, she finally started opening up and talking about it. And I just felt like we had a connection there. And I gave them all the information about the group. I gave them the podcast information because I think maybe she felt isolated, like she didn't have anybody
to turn to.
Yeah. And so I gave that information. And now, you know, I see her every 6 months. Her daughter's like completely different around me. Mm-hmm. I think because I kind of had that, like, mm-hmm. I know, you know, I'm on this side of things too.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool thing. So I think to know that you're not alone, maybe more adults don't really like talking about mm-hmm. like things that they're feeling sad or anxious about. Maybe it's better, you know, they feel like they just need to be quiet about it.
Well, it's interesting too, because I wonder how much of it is like the parent themselves. Like if the parent is not, I know, Steve was openly talking about it, but if other parents aren't openly talking about it with, you know, their neighbors or group or whatever, and their kids live in the same area, like, mm-hmm. are they not comfortable with them talking about it to others? Because I know other people that are the same way, like they just don't share it. But I had people starting to come to me that, like, friends that I knew in high school, because I'm so open about mine. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I don't know if they would have gone anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's that whole idea of like speaking up and speaking yeah. out, because it's like you really are not alone. There are so many of us, and just like how do you navigate this with other people?
Yeah.
You know,
I shared like a video that my dad had made about the DBS surgery,
yeah.
and I had a coworker reach out that through all of this, she ended up having the surgery done.
Oh, wow. I mean, literally half of us have all had yeah, it from starting yeah. with Steve.
I've had friends from high school who have reached out. I've had at least three friends that said, you know, my mom has this mm-hmm. or my dad has this. Mm-hmm. Would your dad be willing to
yeah.
talk? I mean, I talked to so many people
yeah.
and just one little video had so many people reach out to me about it. So yeah. I think that's the main thing, is just to be open about it. It's not something to be embarrassed about
right.
or hide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's life. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately life comes with stuff that we were never prepared for or
right.
hoping.
So what I hear you saying is you're pimping your dad out.
Yes. That's precisely what I'm doing. But I do. I'm always like, Dad, would you be willing to talk to so-and-so? Or, you know, you might get a text from this number. And he's always just like yeah. so willing to talk to people about it. And I think that breaks down the stereotype about it and
yeah.
making it a little less scary,
mm-hmm.
which is huge.
Right. Aw, Stevie B, you're human. So your dad's obviously going to be, he's already watching it right now, and he's going to be editing this later, mm-hmm. so I'm sure he'll be emotional. But what is one thing you'd want him to hear from you?
This is the part where I was like, I'm not going to cry during this part. I think I would want him to know that I'm just super proud of him, and I'm inspired by his ability to take something in life that was never what he expected to happen and never wanted to happen, but to be able to take that and turn it into something that I think is really beautiful and has helped so many people. I'm just inspired by that. Mm-hmm. I would like to think that I could do something like that, but a big part of me thinks I would just let it take me out, and mm-hmm. I would say, you win,
mm-hmm.
like I can't do this. But it's just super encouraging to see how he's just living his life, mm-hmm. and if anything, it almost seems like he's got more joy and happiness and energy and doing more things since the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I can't say I'm surprised, because this is very, like, dad mode. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is what he does. But, yeah, I'm just inspired by just his attitude. And I think your attitude makes such a huge difference
yeah.
in the prognosis of everything. And in my own life, you know, it's inspiring to know, like, when I come across hard times that, you know, nothing is impossible. And, you know, I think with support from other people and faith, I think faith plays a huge part in
mm-hmm.
it too, is what you need to get by. So yeah, I'm just really proud of him. And I'm awesome. Just proud to call him my dad. Like, I'm always excited to share what he's done. And I mean, I have 10 patients a day, and I probably at least one of them a day. I'm like, well, let me tell you about my dad.
Yeah. Aw, that is so sweet.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This is probably one of the most, I feel like, raw, open conversations that we've had with somebody. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. In our last 30 seconds, I feel like I have a lot of things I want to leave you guys with. But I think the biggest thing that I just heard is, for those that are out there living with Parkinson's, and if you have adult children or children of any age, I think it's important for you to know that you can still inspire your kids. You are still the parent. You are still the role model. So take what you can and make lemonade out of lemons. I don't know how to say that one. I'm terrible with that. But honestly, like, to inspire, you can still inspire your family. You can still do things even if you feel like you can't. And again, like, just be that role model, but be open with your family members, talk to them, and let them know that it's okay for them to talk about it with others so that they can have the support that they need as well. So with that, we will see you next time. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is produced by Melissa Carlson and Steve Brandenburg. To contact us, email info@thesecretlifeofpd.org. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not responsible or liable for any medical advice, diagnosis, course of treatment, or any other information obtained through this podcast. The information provided by The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast. You are encouraged to consult a physician for a definitive diagnosis.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy. Just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.